I took a day off on Thursday, and my middle daughter, Michelle, who has gotten cabin fever sitting with Millie and Moses and baby Eli, decided they were going to go up to the Dells for 3 days. So they got a room at the Kalahari, and I went up there on Thursday to spend the day with them to see. The morning we spent at the Dells Mining Company, where for an exorbitant amount of money, you get a bucket of sand. And you get to pour it in this screen, and you hopefully find, you pan for gold. Well, Moses loved that. He's 5, 6 years, he's gonna be 6 pretty soon. He had to do that. He went through 3 buckets. That afternoon, we went to take one of those old-time photos that you take, where we all dressed up. I didn't get what I wanted, because I always want to be cowboy, so I didn't get cowboy. I was voted out. They decided to do Roaring Twenties. So we all dressed up, Roaring Twenties outfits. And my whole day was made when I saw little 3-year-old Millie in a little flapper dress, a little hair on her head, and baby 9-month-old Eli with a gangster suit on. And I took one of those pictures, and I was just looking at everybody. And so when I came home, I thought about, you know, those old-time photos. So I went back and I pulled out all some old photos that I had of our families. And I had one of my great-grandfather's wedding. And I swear he looked just like my dad. And it made me think about inheritance. And I had these gospels in my mind while I was up there and looking at these pictures and thinking about this. And I thought how important inheritance is from what we hear. And I thought back about, as I looked through my pictures, I thought, okay, who got my grandmother's curly hair? Who got my grandfather's eyes? Who got the Saran nose? It was Michelle, unfortunately. She's the one with the big nose. And you just look at those pictures and you see little parts of your families in there and you think about that. In today's readings, we hear about inheritance and the importance of inheritance and what role we play. In the story of Abraham in our first reading, we hear because of Abraham's fidelity, God promises he will be great among nations. He will be the father of our faith. And so we, in our first reading, learn that whether it's through blood or inheritance or adoption, we are part of God's family and part of the family of Abraham. And then as we read through the gospel of Moses and Elijah and all the other people, we're all part of that. That's our inheritance and some of our identity as well. And then in our gospel, we hear the extent of what our family is. Jesus, that he's the plan and had been the plan all along for our family. Last week we heard about his humanity, as he went into the desert for 40 days. He did that right after he was baptized. He did that so he could get his identity, who he was. Our gospel today comes right after Jesus asks the apostles, who do they say that I am? And now Peter and John and Andrew see the extent of who Jesus is. Because today we see his divinity in the transfiguration where he's seen in his glory. And here we sit, inheritance of that, right in the middle. Because we ask ourselves, who do they say we are? We each ask ourselves, who are we in this life? Who are we in God's life? And we sit right in the middle because we too have a human part and a divine part, just like Jesus. So part of our identity comes from our inheritance. When I was young, it was very important to me to be successful by myself. I thought I had to do stuff myself. And I thought, you know, what true success in life is not counting on anybody. Just getting it, doing your own thing, having enough money to buy your own home, your cars, do what you want. You don't have to depend on anyone. I thought that was success. Then after I had three daughters, and I saw like parts of me in each one, it was like if you took me apart and split me into three, there they are. It made me think of our ancestors and how everything that we have is built on their foundation. I think about my grandmother who came over here in 1903 when she was 14 years old. And I've heard many parishioners tell me stories on how they or their husband or their wife came over when they were 14 or 15 years old. I was sitting in my room listening to 45s. These people went across the country. And because of that, we're here. And it made me think about how I stand on the foundation of my inheritance. And that's what the second week of Lent is to tell us. In the first week of Lent, we receive ashes. We start to talk about the things that we're going to do. It's a personal, like, event. Okay, it's me and you, God. Me and you for Lent. I'm going to try this. I'm going to do this. I'm going to sacrifice for you, God. It's going to be me and you. We're going to do it. This second week of Lent reminds us that Lent is communal as well. It's not just about you and God. It's about us and God. And so what I saw was a bigger picture in my life, that my success wasn't just about me, or it wasn't even because of me, but because of everything that happened before me. That's what I think the apostles were stunned at, was realizing that, you know what, we're part of a bigger story here. There's something going on here. This just isn't a nice guy that we're following. This isn't even someone who does miracles that we're following. There's something going on here that's going to last for a longer time than our lives. That's what those apostles must have been thinking when they do that. And that's why it makes Lent different in the second week, is that understanding that things are bigger than we think about. Our Lenten experience is much bigger than just us giving stuff up from what we do. When our relatives die, they leave us stuff. Here's my grandmother's table. You might get jewelry from somebody. You might get something else. To realize that we are part of God's family, we also get an inheritance. Jesus left us an inheritance. He said we're adopted children of God. Imagine that. I've said it so many times, but just think about, we're now part, our identity, who do they say we are? We're adopted children of God. And I know that this might be hard for parents to hear, but our kids are not ours. They're God's. God is their father. God has put them here. And our role of parents is for them to be godly and to live as adopted children of God. That's who our identity is. And our inheritance is salvation. That's what the second week of Lent is, to sort of give us a much bigger picture than that. So it's not that important that we give something up, or that we say, okay, yeah, we're gonna be better people. We're gonna do this better, we're gonna do that better. That's all the means. That's not the ends of Lent. That's the means for us to realize who we are and what we've inherited through the actions of Jesus and the plan of God from the very beginning. So I want you to take some time today and maybe even this week, think about your family and how you are here because of the courage and actions of people way, way back, maybe even not that far back. And be thankful and understand that as you live, you matter because you're part of such a bigger picture. It's not just you, it's all this. And you matter because you're a child of God. And the inheritance that you get from God is such a bigger story that we can just partially understand, just like the apostles that saw the glory of Jesus. So why does it matter? It's really nice. Why does it matter? It matters because if you understand that Lent is a bigger thing than just you and God and what you're giving up, then Lent becomes an adventure. It becomes an exploration. It becomes an ancestry.com where you look at how I relate to God, how we relate to God as a community. And Lent is about changing our hearts. And if you change your heart, why this matters is because you change one heart, yours. And because we're part of the community, when you change one heart, you've changed the heart of the whole community. You change your heart and everybody changes. Everything changes. And if you change the heart of the community, you change the heart of the world. You change your heart, you have changed the world. That's what today tells us in our readings. The glory of Jesus changed the world, and you changing your heart during Lent changes us and changes the world. So this week in Lent, I want you to go out, think about that for a little while, and rejoice in being able and go out and change the world by changing just one heart, yours.